Heart to Heart, Caring for the Dying. This program, Children Sometimes Die, looks at the ultimate tragedy that a family can face and the support they need to get through it.
Like walk around and stuff, I don't think of myself as being someone with a medical problem or anything. I just walk around like a normal person.
We expect that children will get sick from time to time, but we don't expect them to die. The very idea of a child dying is so filled with emotion and pain that we don't even want to think about it. However, children sometimes do die, and as a society, we need to figure out how to help them on their journey. Brittany is a child who may die young. She lives in Seattle with her legal guardian, whom she calls her mom, Dawn English.
Brittany is 13 and has cystic fibrosis.
It's a lung disease which causes your lungs to make thicker mucus, and it grows bacteria and stuff. And it also affects your digestive systems.
Brittany's been coughing up a lot of blood recently. She's just back from a stay at the hospital.
In Brittany's case, she has permanent lung damage, has had one lobe removed, and now is needing fairly frequent hospitalizations to keep her marginally healthy. And we're in the process of getting her ready to go to California, to Stanford, to be evaluated for being put on the lung transplant list.
I hate the hospital. That's the worst place ever. Because it's boring and I hate it.
And besides, those boys are going to get taken if she's not there to guard them. Or actually, that boy.
She has a crush.
He's really cute, so.
He has braces.
So he's still cute. He's funny. Yeah, I just like him.
She walks like a freaky boy.
No, I don't.
Dawn is also legal guardian for Lamonte, who was born with multiple problems, including cerebral palsy, or CP. Lamonte can't speak, but his labored breathing is a constant presence in the room.
You gonna talk? Tell me what's going on this morning, huh? You kept me up a lot last night. So tell me about it. Lamonte is 5 and has severe CP and obstructive airway disease. His own airway collapses and he doesn't swallow, and so secretions build up. Lamonte probably has the developmental age of possibly a 6-week-old, because he smiles and he coos and he laughs, but he isn't able to sit or hold his head up very well. He can't walk or crawl or... he has, you know, probably about as severe CP as you could have. You got a great smile, mister. You know that? Lamonte, I think, is just darling. He's African-American. He's kind of on the thin side. He's got a huge smile. Big brown eyes. He has a nice smile. They thought I would bring him home and he would die. And we're 5 years later and he's still hanging around, so. Which makes us very happy.
Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
Brittany and Lamonte live in the shadow of death. They need a tremendous amount of medical attention. They also need a lot of love and understanding and support in order to face each day that they continue to live. Most doctors have not been able to meet this challenge, and there are a lot of reasons for this. For one thing, while the number of children who die each year is small compared to the overall number of deaths, the tragedy is enormous. And children are not just little adults. Their situation is very different. Their needs are different. And our approach to them must be different as well.
There are very few pediatric palliative care programs in the country right now relative to the number of children who would benefit greatly from receiving palliative care services.
Hospices are primarily geared to deliver services to adults. They do take children, but their nurses and their healthcare providers, they don't have pediatric expertise.
And it does cost more to deal with a child if it's at the end of life. So hospices are faced with the issue that they do not get reimbursed the amount it takes to do proper care for these children.
These are the voices of three physicians who are working with dying children. Joanne Wolfe is at Children's Hospital in Boston. Dr. Javier Kane works at the Santa Rosa Children's Center in San Antonio. And Dr. Joanne Hilden is at the Children's Hospital in Cleveland. There are just a handful of doctors like them around the country who are trying to turn this problem around. Dr. Ross Hayes is another.
Pediatricians in this country mostly spend their time taking care of healthy kids. You know, people learn by experience, and if you don't get experience, then you don't learn. And also, because it's rare, we don't have systems built up to support this aspect of pediatric care. So insurance companies don't understand how to deal with it, and hospitals frequently are not skilled or geared toward taking care of dying children. Not very many people have experience with their needs.
These doctors are working in a new field called pediatric palliative care, which responds to the unique needs of dying children and of their families. Dr. Hayes works at Children's Hospital in Seattle, where Brittany and Lamonte are lucky to be patients. Jerry Haynes is a nurse here.
The children who come to our program probably will have vastly shortened lifespan. And the goal of this care is to help them go through this process in the most loving way possible. And that sounds like mushy stuff, but it isn't.
We have become so skilled at doing certain technical things and so enamored with that, that we've often forgotten what it means to actually care for the patient. Not only what their medical needs are, but what the needs of their families are, their spiritual, social, community needs, and really stepping back a little bit and focusing on this whole person in the context of this illness.
Dr. Herbert Thomas, please call 2449.
These folks are here for outpatient therapy.
Hello. What's their first name?
Savannah.
Great. And it will be just one moment. We'll check in shortly with one of our registrars.
Thank you. Tell him thank you.
He's hiding from me.
He's hiding from you?
One big difference between children and adults is that kids may live for years with a terminal illness. But they need to receive palliative care right from the moment they are diagnosed, not just in their last days. And this care has to happen on all levels, mind, body, and spirit. This takes a lot of people with a lot of different skills.
The team could be comprised of the child's primary physician, the child's specialty physician or physicians. It might be the fellow in training, a resident in training. Could be the clinic nurse,
the school nurse, the social worker. It could be a physical therapist, occupational therapist, certainly a chaplain or a spiritual person if the family so chooses, child life specialist. We've used storytellers, music therapists.
Managing pain and other physical symptoms is at the top of the list.
We have a very strong commitment to relieve pain and suffering, but there are some symptoms of disease that accompany end of life other than pain that can be just as distressing. Patients who have nausea that just sort of eats away at them all day long. Often children have dyspnea or shortness of breath and have talked about feeling as if they're drowning.
The biggest problem Lamonte has is his airway, and oops, you're beeping.
It's oximeter. When he doesn't have enough oxygen, it beeps pretty quick. Within just a few seconds, it will show up that he doesn't have enough oxygen. And so we know that we either have to suction him or reposition his head or...
Hi. Nice smile. Yes. You're so funny. Yes, you're so funny.
Along with constantly watching that Lamonte is getting enough oxygen, Don also has to keep his limbs flexible because he can't move on his own.
He needs to have us put him through all of the motions that your body normally goes through, reaching and turning and scratching and all the things that one normally does with their hands. We have to do that for him because he's not capable. And without that, eventually he would just, you know, tighten up into a fetal position.
You have to put yours down first. Remember, it's got to go under the... This is a stander, which I really like, because he's supported in a standing position so that he winds up using muscles that he wouldn't normally use.
Hi, buddy.
And then on the tray in front of him, of course, are things that make a lot of noise and have lights and whistles and the dancing bunny and that kind of stuff. So we... Do you want to turn the bunny on again?
For Brittany, keeping her lungs clear is practically a full-time job.
Brittany is taking a whole variety of respiratory treatments to clear her lungs and to keep her lungs as healthy as possible. So she does what's called a flutter, where she blows on a little pipe that has a steel ball and it jiggles the things loose, and then she coughs them up, and she has to do that 4 times a day.
This is a flutter. And I blow into it like this. And it like jiggles my lungs and makes me cough. To do it 10 times. I get tired of it.
But it's not just about controlling physical symptoms. For a child who is facing death, emotional support is a big part of good medical care.
I'm afraid of dying. That's my biggest fear. It's just scary.
She knows people with cystic fibrosis die, and Brittany knows that she has severe lung disease, and she's panicked about that.
Because I don't want to like not be able to not breathe and stuff, and that'd be scary. But my mom, she just comforts me, and we can talk to each other, and if I'm afraid, she just helps me.
You know, it's really difficult talking to a kid about dying. You know, how do you say, well, you know, when you die, this is the way it will be or whatever. So I talked to the psychiatrist, and she said, you know, that we should actually talk about the process of dying.
My mom said, if I'm sick enough, I'd be in the hospital where it'd be comfortable and I'd have medications for me and stuff. So I'm kind of in both ways. I am scared and I'm not scared.
It's an ongoing circle of the more you're anxious, the more you find to be anxious about. And now she has anxiety attacks.
Well, I go to counseling, and we just talk about things I'm afraid of, and she just helps me figure out ways to not be as afraid. Like, she just tells me to relax and think about good things instead of the negative things.
They were working on techniques to deal with the anxiety, and then she's also on anxiety medications, and she's pretty good at doing what she needs to do to control the anxiety.
I think we should go to church and pray and stuff, because God's an important person.
Brittany is taking comfort in the fact that she believes in an afterlife. And so we found this lovely church that she's embraced wholeheartedly.
I love church, and I feel safe there. If there was no God, how did we all get here? And where would we go if there wasn't a heaven or a hell?
A lung transplant may be Brittany's best hope to lengthen her life. But this prospect also holds fear and anxiety.
I might get a lung transplant. It's exciting and it's scary. If I do get one, I'll get new lungs and be able to do things that I wasn't able to do now. The scary thing is it's like a big surgery, and also like how long I live with those lungs and stuff. Because having someone's lungs, you live a certain amount of time with them. It's kind of a freaky situation.
Doctors Javier Kane, Joanne Wolf, and Joanne Hilden explain that younger children often cannot express their anxieties through words. That's where a child life specialist comes in, using play to help children cast out their inner demons.
Many times children do not have the vocabulary to be able to communicate their experiences. And we rely on child life to be able to do play therapy and to just sit down and in a relaxed atmosphere, be able to understand what the children are experiencing.
Children may express themselves, for example, through drawings and artwork in a way that they can't do verbally. And so there's a lot of ways to enhance communication with children through the expertise of a child life specialist.
I've seen a picture drawn by a child with cystic fibrosis not long ago, a great big tree. It's a leafless tree. It was very stark. And the child was on a swing under the tree, a tire swing. And the words written on this thing were that CF is going to get me. And if you looked carefully, the rope was fraying.
You've got your gloves on. You're all ready, aren't you?
Yeah.
Trudy Schmidt is a child life specialist with Seattle's palliative care program. The tools of her trade include Lionel Bear, a stuffed bear who has a portacath implant, which is used for drawing blood and giving medications. 2-year-old Tracy, who also has a port, is helping Lionel Bear with his.
Let's see if we can help Lionel Bear get his port accessed.
Yeah.
Okay, you want to do it or do you want me to do it?
No, you want me to.
I thought you might like to do that. Now let's see.
His pokies.
Well, Lionel Bear's sitting up so straight and tall, isn't he? Yeah. Is that what you have to do when you get your port done?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was doing some medical play with a bear who actually has a bump under his fur that feels like a portacath, and using the real thing, the real blood tubes, the real syringes, a butterfly needle with the needle removed. She could kind of work through the process of what was happening for her here today at the clinic, and hopefully decrease the stress of the experience.
Boy, all done, Owies.
It's all done, Owies? Oh, yeah. All right. Boy, that was fast for Lionel Bear.
Yeah.
So using the bear, sometimes you can hear them. He has to get lots of pokies. He says it hurts when he gets pokies. Play lets them act some of this out. When we do your port access today, do you want to have Lionel come with you?
Yeah.
All right. Let me go see if Lydia's all ready for you, and we can have Lionel walk back with us today, okay?
Yeah.